It's 1:30.
All right.
We'll get going because we don't have a lot to do today, so we can be hopefully in and out of here quickly. This is Shana Wilson. I'm acting chair of the Public Employees Retirement Board Legislative Committee for today. I'll call the meeting to order and ask Cynthia to take the roll call first.
Committee Chair Maggie Peterson.
I'm present.
Robin Driscoll.
Here.
Terry Halpin. No. Rich Hickel.
Here.
Jason Strove.
Here.
Sheena Wilson.
Here.
Sonia Woods.
Here.
Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, great turnout.
I'll remind people we're recording this via audio, so be sure and identify yourself when you speak and speak as clearly as you can so Kelly can catch us all on the recording. Members of the public, do we have any members of the public on board today?
Six.
Yeah. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Sarah Piper, Montana Federation of Public Employees.
Thanks, Sarah.
Diane Lewandowski, I'm para.
Thank you.
Holly Ressler, I'm para.
Kyle Hartsey, I'm para.
Chris Palatic, I'm para.
Anybody else? Hearing none, thank you. Does any member of the public want to comment on a matter that is not on today's agenda? If so, we'll hear your comment, but we cannot act on it until it is on an agenda posted in the future. Nope, nothing from the public, thank you. We'll approve the legislative committee minutes from February 21st, 2023. I'd entertain a motion to do so.
So moved. This is Maggie.
This is Robin.
Rich, I'll second.
No.
Thank you. I'll say Maggie and Rich is what I got.
Got it. Okay. Yep.
All right. All in favor of approving those minutes, like, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Take it away, Dory.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Dory Schwinden, Executive Director here at Impera. The first item is A, update on Impera legislation. The only Impera legislation we have left out there is Senate Bill 74, which is our general revisions bill carried by Senator McCamey. That has been heard on the other side in House State Administration, and they have not taken executive action on it as of yet. They are beginning to move through executive action on some of those Senate bills that have come over on the House side. So I would anticipate that that should come up in the next couple of weeks. Item B is update on other legislation. And one of the ones that I wanted to update you guys on is Senate Bill 29, which is again carried by Senator McCamey. And this calls for a 0.1% employer increase each year for the next 10 years to extend that that increase that started back in 2014. That again has been heard in state administration. We were there for both of those bills and they have not taken executive action on those. It is day 50 in the session, so we're more than halfway. The legislature took a break over transmittal and they came back in. I believe the Senate came in on Wednesday night and the House came all the way in on Thursday. So if we want to start with the House tracking sheets, a little update on House Bill 2, which is the big budget bill. All the sections have been heard in Appropriations Committee, and so as of yesterday. And so the next step for that bill would be to go to the floor while they will discuss each section individually. The committee chairs get up in the well of the House with the staffers from finance and go through each section and see if there are amendments, and that usually takes a couple of days. So that should be forthcoming. House Bill 13 is the state employee pay plan, which has begun to move as well. It was sent over and introduced on the Senate side on Monday and is scheduled for a hearing in finance and claims on the 16th, which I believe is Thursday. That bill, if you don't recall, calls for a $1.50 an hour or a 4% increase, whichever is the greater for 2023 and the same for 2024, plus for a full-time employee, a one-time $1,040 payment. And that goes down if you're between 20 and 40. And then if you're between 20 and zero, there's also a one-time payment. Again, that bill will be heard in Finance and Claims on Thursday. Let's see, next page for our bills, we'll go to House Bill 119, which was the one-time only money for the three safety systems. That was tabled in the Appropriations Committee on February 24th. Now, in speaking with the bill sponsor, she has some ideas that that might be resurrected in the event that House Bill 569 does not pass. And we'll speak about that when we get to 569. But since it has been amended, 569, it does include that one-time only money, which we are waiting to find out. Moving down the list, House Bill 180 was municipal police officers, inclusion of Eureka and Belgrade. That was tabled in appropriations as well on the 14th of February, and that bill will be dead. Next page, House Bill 226 is the layered amortization bill for the PERS system, and the acting board chair has asked Bill to go through a little bit of what the provisions in that bill call for now.
Sure. Madam Chair, members of the board, many of you have heard me talk about this in the past, but House Bill 226 creates a $300 million special pension trust fund through statutory appropriation, and it would also institute a layered amortization policy for the public employees retirement system. And so under the terms of the bill, the employer contribution rate for fiscal year 24 would increase from 9.17% to 9.29% for that fiscal year. And then thereafter, beginning on July 1 of 24, which is fiscal year 25, each employer in the PERS system would contribute either a base rate, what's coined as a base rate under the bill, that increases 0.5% every fiscal year from that floor of 9.29%, or they would contribute the actuarially determined contribution rate off of the combined PERS, defined benefit, and defined contribution covered payroll. And they would contribute whichever is less in terms of those two numbers. The actuarially determined contribution rate would be comprised of a contribution rate that would pay off the legacy unfunded liability of the system, determined as of June 30th, 23 over a closed 30-year period. So that's the $2 billion unfunded liability number that hangs out there today, as well as the contemporary unfunded liability of the system over a closed 10-year period. And this would be any gains or losses smoothed over a five-year period for gains or losses that are experienced by the system as of June 30th, 2024. And then finally, the normal cost rate for members of the defined benefit plan, which is just the cost for providing benefits in the future for a current active member of the plan. So under the terms of the bill, for any year that the base rate is less than the actuarially determined contribution rate determined by our actuary, the pension special trust fund would be used to pay the difference between this employer base rate and the ADEC rate into the PERS trust fund, so long as there are adequate funds remaining in the special pension trust fund to do so. The only other call out I'll have about this bill is that it would also change the DC contribution rate going to DC member accounts from 9.07% currently to 7.9%. And any excess collected above that would go to the defined benefit plan to pay off the legacy unfunded liabilities in the DB plan. In addition, the bill would change the default plan election option under statute from the defined benefit plan to the defined contribution plan for a new member of PERS that does not make an affirmative election between the defined benefit plan and the defined contribution plan within the first 12 months of their hire date. Those are kind of the parameters of the bill. I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
I would also note, Bill, that That was transmitted to the Senate on the 27th of yep. February, and it has been read over the rostrum on the Senate side and will be scheduled for a hearing. And again, we don't know whether or not, since it has been in appropriations, whether or not it will go to Senate State Administration Committee, the Policy Committee, or if it will go to the Senate Finance and Claims Committee. I just don't know the answer to that question at this time. Any questions about that one? The board had asked us to go in and support that measure. I don't know if any board members have different feelings about it at this stage of the game, but initially we have been asked to go in as supportive. Okay.
In the condition, this is Sheena, sorry. In the condition that it transferred over with whatever the final bill was, how concerned are we about that? I mean, we supported it, but consequences, both for the agency in terms of work involved and I guess in terms of long-term.
From the agency perspective, the only real programming difference will be the employer rates that we plug in into our Paris system, our ERIC system. And that we change all the time anyway, based on statutes, at least PERS that increase a 10th. And then the DC default component. And I've already talked to our IT staff about how much work that would look like, and they're fairly confident they would be ready on time for that. So that gives you some frame of reference there. From a strict pension funding perspective, it will fully fund the system. So over this time period. So I suppose I would just say that this has been utilized by other states and they have reached 100% funding by doing this. And if we
how many new employees now don't opt and just get thrown into the PER system?
I believe I had those numbers. I still do. I want to say over the 20 years that the DC plan has been in existence, on average, about 2,600 folks default every year into the defined benefit plan.
Okay, they just don't make the...
They don't make any decisions.
They don't make any decisions.
Yep.
So 2,600 people over the life of 20 years.
Yeah, so, okay. Since 2002 or so.
Per year.
On average, 2,600 per year.
Per year?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is the correct number because I've heard you quote it more than once, yeah. And I remembered.
We did run those numbers going back historically. Thank you, Holly.
So education obviously becomes a key element here.
Yes.
In terms of making sure we can understand.
It always has been for us.
Right.
And we always offer a new hire training and explain the differences between the two plans. But yeah, absolutely.
And especially at the local level where sometimes education may not happen as effectively as we would like it to have. We're going to have people mad because they get defaulted because they didn't know about the change.
Yes, and if this bill were to pass, there's going to be some procedural issues for budgeting authorities, particularly at the local level, I think. And so there are beginning to be some concerns, I think. Certainly, I've talked with the executive at League of Cities and Towns, and they're kind of staying in the wings, waiting to see how this goes. And I don't know, perhaps Jason has talked with the MAKO folks. They, at first were pretty supportive and now seem to be a little bit more lukewarm on it.
Yeah, don't get too concerned about the minor change in approach on that. We're still supportive of it. It's just a little cautionary about the change in the default plans and sort of what the long-term indications are from that.
Sure.
All right. Thank you, Bill.
Sure.
Moving on to bills that we are following. House Bill 319, that was laws related to the firefighter system. That was tabled in committee back in February, and that one is dead and not coming back, missed transmittal by a long shot. Turning the page to page 4, we're at House Bill 569, which is Representative Moore's bill to put the layered amortization schedule onto those three safety systems and the amendments had included the one-time only $107 million one-time only funding for the three systems combined, and we provided a revised fiscal note on Monday the 13th. So that has transmitted to the Senate, I should say, but has not been introduced or read over the rostrum yet. So we're waiting to find out. Again, it was heard in appropriations if it's going to go to Senate State Administration or Finance and Claims. And I believe that is it. At the bottom of page 5, there is a LC number for Representative Bergstrom, which was providing a graded vest system. That has not moved since the 10th of January. So I'm having some pretty good feelings that we won't be seeing that. And I believe that wraps up the House side. So if we want to turn to the Senate tracking sheet, we begin with Senate Bill 18, Senator Cuffs adding the benefit policy statement to all the systems. That was signed by the governor on the 10th of February, much like the board policies that we have with regard to benefits. Senate Bill 29, we talked about briefly here, that is the 0.1% increase in employer contribution continuing on for 10 years. Bill and I testified on the 21st February in House State Administration, and no executive action has yet been taken. Similarly, with our general revisions bills, Senate Bill 74, board has asked us to support both of those. We had a hearing in House State Administration February 21st, and no executive action has taken place. Moving on to page 2. Senate Bill 348 by Senator McGilvery was to eliminate the guaranteed annual benefit adjustment for new hires. The board asked us to oppose it. The governor's office got in there and told us that we needed to go in as informational, which we did. And that was, it had a negative vote of 22-28 on second reading and failed and turned around and was indefinitely postponed on the 1st of March. So that bill is gone and won't be back. Next one is Senate Joint 4, providing for an interim study of pensions. That is all the way through and filed with the Secretary of State. And again, that will be lined up with all of the rest of the study bills that go through the session to be ranked at the end of the legislative session. Next page 3, Senate Resolution 4 is the governor's appointee to our board. Congratulations, Sonia. That has been returned from enrolling, and you're on for another 5 years unless you decide you don't want to. Which could happen sometimes to people. The last bill that we wanted to talk about was Senator Fitzpatrick's LC number 2635 at the bottom of the page there. That is the default in PERS membership from the DB plan to a DC plan. Again, that draft has been ready for delivery since February 3rd. And so I'm not seeing many prospects for that coming up. Tuesday, March 28th is the 62nd day, and that is the last day to introduce appropriations, revenue bills, and referenda. So, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I don't see a whole lot coming up that we need guidance on. And I would suggest that we have our next legislative committee meeting on Tuesday, the 28th at 1:30. That would be the 62nd day. We may have gone before the Senate State Admin Committee or Finance and Claims on those two more layered amortization bills. But other than that, I don't see us going before the committees on much else that's out there. That's my brief report. Did I miss anything, Bill, that you want to take around the bat?
Thank you. Members of the board, anybody have any questions? Anybody got concerns? Anything else they want to talk about?
Scuttlebutt, gossip. Sarah.
Well,
Sarah's
got a hand up. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Hello. This is Sarah Piper again with MFPE. I just want to interrupt your conversational flow there. I just wanted to share on House Bill 266. We have a couple of strong concerns there. The first is that when we brought up the fact that there's very few people who are affirmatively opting into the DC plan versus the numbers that are perfectly content going into the DB plan, and that might cause consternation for those who assume they're going into the plan that they are trying to go into. It was mentioned that, well, the unions need to do a better job educating members. I would like the board to help remind people, perhaps, as you're chatting with people, that many of those individuals and PERS aren't in union eligible positions, that there's quite a few people in there who are not in positions that are eligible for union membership at all. And so while we can certainly help with our members, it's really going to be an HR lift that has to happen. And I think that the legislators were overlooking that to some degree. And so any opportunity you have to help convey our concerns there, and that this will be something that needs attention, I think would be greatly appreciated, because my concern and our members' concern is that they're going to be placing people in a system that wasn't really the one that they thought they were getting into. And also, what does that look like 11 months into a career path if that's when they make it a little action in a different direction? How does that funding work out? So I just wanted to share those concerns with you. And thank you all for your time doing this.
Of course, Sarah. And thank you for that reminder. And I don't think that we have been encouraging more union education. Just overall, I think, you know, we need to educate legislators as much as possible.
Yes. Yeah. I was not meaning to imply that was coming from Impera. There was a few legislators who made that comment. And I just think that if we're all sharing with them that this is going to need to be an HR conversation specifically, that might be helpful.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, if we get, I mean, that's a big change. That's a huge change. And it's going to be very, very important to make sure people are informed at all levels. Anything else? All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Yes, indeed. And see you in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Sheena. Thanks for running the meeting, Sheena.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you.
It really helps.